The first Jewish residents moved to Morgantown in 1879, and since then, the community has made quite a mark on the city. A few years ago, the president of the Tree of Life Congregation and Synagogue in Morgantown asked now-president Ed Gerson to write a history of the congregation for a time capsule. Instead, Gerson interviewed about 20 members of the Jewish community and documented their stories in a book of oral histories. The book, called Morgantown Jewish Heritage, was released this month. I sat down with Gerson to talk about his experience writing the book. Okay, so let's first talk about the Tree of Life Congregation and Synagogue in Morgantown, which is mentioned by many of the individuals interviewed for this book. It opened its doors in 1948, and at one point it's described as Reformadox, and that's a mashup of the words Reform and Orthodox for our non-Jewish listeners. Reform is a more modern form of Judaism, while Orthodox Jews follow traditional Jewish traditions more strictly. Why did the Tree of Life decide to be Reformadox?
Oh, that's easy. it was easier. There's always that joke about the rabbi. People come up, one person says, "Rabbi, you had too much Hebrew in your service tonight. I couldn't go along with it." And some said, you had too much English. It didn't mean anything to me. So you'll never resolve that.
So tell me about some of the people you talked to. I know you interviewed Belle Fields, who is 100 years old.
She had a phone that was powered by batteries, and she didn't stop talking for an hour. Well, fortunately for me, I was using, number one, a tape recorder, and number two, the batteries died in her phone after an hour.
One sentiment I noticed in the stories was this loss of Jewish identity upon moving to this region. For example, Shirley Bellman spoke about her mother's struggle to keep kosher when no kosher foods were available in grocery stores. Irwin Goldsmith didn't have a synagogue to celebrate his bar mitzvah in. In your experience, is that sense of loss common?
With my own father, I certainly can say that he was, and all those who knew him have told me, he was a mystical type of man. There was a longing, a yearning, for something that had been lost in my father. And he would sometimes talk about Russia. I says, "Pop, you were born in the United States." And he'd tell me these stories about Russia. And of course, the reasons for leaving Russia were not pleasant. But the memory of Russia, yes.
There were also really amazing stories in this book of connection to other communities in Morgantown. Many people spoke fondly of West Virginia University students and of coal miners. For example, Gerda Brodsky, a former storekeeper, told you how she once helped a coal miner buy a cross for his wife, which was ironic for obvious reasons. She found that delightful. And Shirley Levine shared a story about her father, Max Levine, which I'd like to read the first paragraph to you, and you can read the second paragraph. So here it goes. Alfred Jones was a black gentleman who lived in Westover and was a coal miner in Osage. When my father had throat cancer and had surgery, Alfred came directly from work and sat in the corner of Dad's room to make sure he was okay. This also ties in with Alfred's feelings along with his story he told after my dad died.
Whenever any of our family got off the bus in Morgantown and any of your family was going to your dad's store in Osage, you'd always go up to my mother, me, or anyone else in my family and greeted us with a hug or a handshake. Why was that important with us? Those were the years of segregation, and all of you showed us friendship without fear of someone saying something nasty. No one ever did.
How big of a factor do you think these friendships played in shaping life here?
In business, you have to recognize people. You just have to recognize people, acknowledge there's somebody else besides you. They have needs and you have needs. And there's more to it than a transaction. The social transaction, a social contract. The essential factor being is the humanity. At some point we have to cross paths. Those cross points are what make human life meaningful and possible if you collaborate together. And sometimes it doesn't have to be verbal. Just sitting in the corner of a friend's hospital room.
But of course, anti-Semitism was a problem in Morgantown. The country club didn't accept Jewish members, and swastikas were sometimes graffitied on Jewish property.
I noticed that the responses to anti-Semitism were long-standing in some people. They remembered it very well, but they basically went on with their lives.
So in the preface of this book, you make a call to action to the reader. You write, "Although I wasn't free to ignore this mitzvah or good deed, neither am I obligated to complete it. That's where you come in." I have to ask you, what does that completion look like?
And you don't. You make the world a decent place for God to reside in. Mm.
You know, when I was reading this book, I kind of got the sense that the stories aren't so much about Jewish life in Morgantown. It's just about life. It's about being alive. It's about having friends and having family and going through financial struggles, things we can all relate to regardless of where we're from or who we are.
That's the whole point.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. As a community, to put all that stuff together and say, wow, as a community, we didn't do quite bad, huh? Not bad at all.